Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. Hope everybody is super blessed in the will of God today. And Brother Travis Bryan and I have a program today he's put together called Divine Ambushments. Brother Travis, are you there?
Yes, sir, brother. I'm right here. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, you're welcome. What a blessing, brother. How are you today?
Doing great. Doing great, Todd. And you?
Doing fantastic, brother. Thank you, brother. And, well, let's talk about some ambushments, brother. One of the texts you have here is out of Proverbs 1. What a magnificent text this is. And somebody might be listening saying, ambushments? God ambushes people? Well, let's talk about what the Scripture reveals. Now, keep in mind that we're reading through Scripture and observing what it is revealing. We're not trying to insert anything into it. And we would ask you to pay close attention to every word of God, which is pure. And God said he's a shield unto them, a protection, that put their trust in him, that is, through the word of God and their own study thereof, is the way we come to the knowledge of God, or we're brought to that place. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16 through 19, the Bible says, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. So, Brother Travis, a couple of sins we're seeing here. People aggressively are running to shed innocent blood, and then we see also those that are greedy of gain, Brother Travis.
Yeah, they're laying out a net for a bird. See, that's a form of ambush right there, to take this bird in captive. And as the Bible said, the Lord took captivity captive. He turned the tables on them at the cross, Todd. And then you see in verse 18, they lay in wait for their own blood.
Oh, that's key. Say that again, brother. Read
they
that
lay
again.
In wait for their own blood. Satan ambushed Jesus at the cross, and he lay in wait for his own blood.
Whoa, saints, I hope we're catching that. They lay wait for their own blood. Now, Brother Travis, they're the perpetrator, right? Talk about
They're the perpetrator and the victim of their own perpetration, Todd.
Saints, let me throw this in there on a side note. Brother Travis Bryan has been in the legal field for several decades. Brother, you were a DA at one time, right?
I was district attorney and then defended people for 36 years. And
defense attorney, okay.
And then now I'm a trial judge in a criminal court. So
amen.
I've been involved with it for a long time, Todd.
Absolutely. That's an interesting background to what we're talking about here, brother. Seems like you might have a little experience of how this all plays out in real life, huh?
Well, you do, and sometimes the way to win a case is to let the other side go right out on their own limb and then watch them fall off. And that's what we're talking about here.
Go out on their own limb. Just let them shoot their mouth off.
Exactly.
Talk about, if anything comes to mind on that specific instance, just throw it in there, brother. That's very
Todd, the mindset that typically will walk into this trap is the one of arrogance, the one who thinks he's bulletproof, the one who thinks he's holding all the cards. He is going to walk right out into his own demise. And I think that's what happened to the ultimate arrogant one, Satan himself.
Mm-hmm.
When he put Jesus on that cross, that was his own defeat. And the Bible talks about death swallowed up in victory. Satan thought he was devouring, which is a Satan word in the King James Bible, devour. He thought he was devouring Christ, but he got swallowed up in his own devouring God.
Amen. You know,
death
on
swallowed up in victory right there.
There you go. Yes, sir. That's 1 Corinthians 15. You know, of Satan, who's pictured as Leviathan, Job 41:34, he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. So even as Satan is the father of lies and liars, John 8:44, he's also the king over all the children of pride. Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely. Pride and arrogance is the most basic sin of mankind, because it was Satan's basic sin. That's his ultimate, you know, I will be as high as God. That's what he said in Isaiah 14.
12 through 15. Yeah, that's the five I's. That's
five I's. Read that, Todd. I mean, that is the essence of arrogance right there.
It really is. Let's do that right now. Isaiah chapter 14, and we're going to read 12 through 15, saints. I want to encourage you to take your Bible and mark this up. I'd like to go in there, Brother Travis. I've circled all five of these I's, the letter I, which is the middle letter of pride, right?
Exactly.
And so the scripture tells us, this is so paramount, saints. This will change your life to grab this grid, if you will. Just drive a stake in this passage and read over it. Get it locked in and set in your mind so you're able to see the world and your own life and everything through the prism of God's word. Notice, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Notice, I, the first one, will ascend into heaven. This is Lucifer. I will exalt. This must have been after he was thrown down, though, as Satan, huh? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit, that's number three, also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. There's RW right there, brother, huh?
Oh, absolutely, Todd. And you know, this is not only Satan, this is the human condition right here, the ego. This passage perfectly describes the ego. The ego wants to be superior. The ego wants to be above and in control. And we are not capable of dealing with that ego that we all have inside. Our main enemy is under our skin. It's the egocentric nature that we all have, the sin nature, this flesh. And the only thing that can knock it down, Todd, is the cross. That troubles come to you, tribulations come to you, trials come to you, temptations come to you. God allows all these things to happen to slowly dismantle this ego center that we all have, Todd. And if that does not happen, we cannot live for God.
Amen, brother. You know, I wrote a piece this morning, a real short piece about this need to be honest. Being knowledgeable about God is separate from being honest with God, which is an act of our heart and of our will. Jesus spoke of only the good and honest that are going to be with him, Luke 8:15. Only honest souls will be in heaven. Pride prevents honesty. That's arrogance and pride that Brother Travis is talking about. When a man won't humble himself, he will cover his sins. He will refuse to openly acknowledge them before God. I love David cried out. He said, I will declare mine iniquity I will be sorry for my sins. Notice, I will declare them. Psalm 38, 18. And one more, brother. It's Psalm 32, verse 5. David said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them, he is the one only that's going to have mercy, Brother Travis.
And the position we want to be in, Todd, is low. We want to get down. That is the way to God, is to descend, not to ascend. Satan wanted to ascend. Our mindset should be one of descending, getting down, getting low, humiliation. Humiliation hurts, but we need it, Todd.
And it's so safe, right? It's the only safe place.
Only safe place.
You know, last night I told my dad, you know, this is the outworking, a little bit of a testimony here, a simple outworking of just keeping a clear conscience, clear record with God and man, which Paul said he did in Acts 24:16. He did always keep a clear conscience before God and men. I said something to my dad. It wasn't real mean, but it wasn't right. I said, Dad, I apologize. That was just flat out wrong. You are so, and I just got it right out there, brother. I don't want to be carrying
that. Well, that's
the
way to do it,
man.
John. But it's hard to do. You know, when I do something and offend my wife, you know, it's just hard for me to say, honey, I was wrong. I'm sorry for what I said.
Yeah, I guess what has to happen is we have to come to the place. I don't know about y'all. I know it's the case for every believer listening to us today, brother, that God will just eat me alive until I just do what he wants me to do. And he will cook me. I'll be swimming in a river of tears, like the psalmist said, you know, all night long. You know, everybody needs to rest, okay? And God has this way of making us very uncomfortable, to put it lightly, in conviction. And that's a blessing, saints. We got to realize that our conscience is a gift of God, and we must listen to it and act accordingly, according to the word and the way the Lord convicts us. And wow, the dangerous place would be a place of not being convicted anymore, Brother Travis.
Absolutely. And Todd, we all go there. You know, as hard as we try to stay away from that mental attitude of arrogance, we inevitably will go there, because this ego is still operating within us. And the only thing that can hold it at bay is the Holy Spirit, with the understanding of the message of the cross. So we're called to take up the cross. That means take up the low place, take up the humble position. Get your eyes on the Lord. He will fight your battles for you. But we want to go out and control and affect our own solution and our own methodologies. And we want to make ourselves acceptable in his sight by our own efforts. And none of all of that is just arrogance, Todd.
It really is. And, you know, I was thinking about recently how the flesh tries to evade repenting, right? It wants to cloak itself with, circumcision, religion, outward religion, everything and anything, except really get bare naked from our hearts with the Lord. I wrote a message that's gotten hundreds, going on 1,000 views so far. It's called "The Flesh Will Never Be Reformed. It Must Be Crucified." I want to encourage you to listen to that, saints. Just put in "the flesh" in the search box on Safeguard Your Soul. The flesh, it's an audio and it's got text. The flesh will never be reformed. This is what Brother Travis is talking about. It must be crucified. And there's a quote somebody put together on a meme. Brother, listen to this.
Okay.
You can't counsel carnality. trying to do so is like trying to enclose a raging bull in a styrofoam cage.
Exactly.
Has anybody else seen that in their own life? That's why Paul said, He declared, there is no good thing in me, that is in my flesh. Nothing about us is good. And until we get to the place where we realize that nothing about us is good outside of Christ, and without him we can do nothing, I don't think we're going to properly see the need and understand it to be crucified with Christ, Brother Travis.
Absolutely. We don't see it. And in that verse you just quoted, notice the words, that is in my flesh, are in parentheses, because he is alluding thereto that Christ dwells in him, and that is his power, that is his life. And it's only in his flesh that he is totally ineffective, Don.
Amen. Because Jesus Christ rose again, all who are born again, saints, in Christ, are raised up spiritually in this life, to overcome all sin, Satan, and the world, and will be soon raised up into eternal glory with heaven's King. And yet, that requires the cross. There cannot be a resurrection until there is first a death and a burial. Brother Travis, you talked about in our message today that you put together called Divine Ambushments, how in 2 Chronicles 20, boy, isn't that a landmark chapter, Brother Travis?
Absolutely.
Encourage you to read that, saints. Get very familiar with it. In 2 Chronicles 20, Brother Travis writes about the enemies had set up an ambush of God's people. Their ambush of God's people turned out to be their own ambush. Satan swallowed himself up when he devoured Jesus at Calvary, and yet death was swallowed up in victory. Brother, that's the ultimate. You keep bringing that back up, which is very appreciated, and it identifies a man of God when he's always going back to the cross of Christ. Amen. And that was the, brother, is that not the ultimate ambushment?
It is, Todd. And I was looking, and I'm going to have to look at this passage further back in the early part of Exodus, where Moses and Aaron throw down their staff, and then they become serpent, and the serpent that the rod becomes swallows up the serpents of the magicians. Now, in that story right there, I promise you, is this same truth. The serpent swallowing the serpent, and Jesus, Satan, the serpent, swallowed himself at Calvary, Todd.
Absolutely, brother. In fact, I love it. And this is something to really begin to observe and to meditate on, saints. And in Colossians 2, it says that Jesus nailed to the cross the handwriting of ordinances,
mm-hmm.
which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled, that means ruined, huh? Principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's the hugest embarrassment, if you will, in history, Brother Travis, huh?
Oh, it's the biggest switcheroo in history, Todd. And you know, the mystery in all this is that God destroys evil by letting evil destroy itself. And that's why he did not make this message known until after the cross, Todd. Because to do so would have enlightened these rulers and princes of this world, these dark powers, Satan and all of his fallen and demonic angels and demons would have known that their own victory would be by their own act. I mean, their own defeat would be by their own act. And so he left that untold. That was not known since the foundation of the world. And Paul reveals this mystery that Satan destroys himself. God does not directly destroy the enemy. He allows the enemy to destroy himself.
Amen. In fact, on that note, brother, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 2:8, that Satan would never have crucified the Lord of glory had he known that an ambush, if you will, I'm paraphrasing, were set up for him in such a thing. which none of the princes, that's the demonic powers, mm-hmm. the fallen angels of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. Also,
now,
Hebrew. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Now, here's a big one right here, Todd. You know, that God's self-sacrificial love shown by Jesus at Calvary is his wrath. That is, God's love is his wrath.
It's kind
because
of a two-edged coin.
It allows Satan, the wrathful one, to destroy himself. You see, there is the wrath of God right there against the enemy. His own act destroys him. His own decision against Christ destroys him. That is the wrath of God. But at the same time, it's the love of God for those that believe, Todd.
Amen, brother. Incredible.
Now, that one will take a while to soak right there.
Yes, it will. I'm glad you're putting it out there in seed form, at least. They got to plant the seed of the knowledge before it can kind of take root, right?
Yeah, and so we have statements like this. The peace of God will bruise Satan under your feet. Now, how is that possible? Wait a minute. To bruise somebody, you've got to commit a violent act against them. No,
mm-hmm.
it's the peace of God, the love of God. The cross is where all peace, all love, all humility is found. That was the most violent act against evil and allowed evil to be turned against itself. That is not only peace and love, but it's also the wrath of God, the same act, the same event. The essence of that one thing is love and wrath at the same time.
Amen. Jesus slayed the dragon, did he not? And through death, that he might destroy him that had the power of death and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, which would be us. But through death, he conquered Satan, the lord of death, right?
Exactly. Now, and we get to this monumental battle in Revelation, and we have the same concept in Revelation 17:16, that Mystery Babylon is destroyed from within. Beast, that is the ten kings, turn on the woman, which is Babylon, and it's infighting that they self-destruct.
Amazing. And Babylon will make war with the Lamb, right? And the Lamb shall overcome them, Revelation
7. Now, how does the Lamb overcome? Remember, it's the Lamb, not the Lion. Now, how does that happen? It's the same thing as we see here in 2 Corinthians 20. They turn in on themselves there in verse 16.
2 Chronicles 20, yes, sir. Verse 16, let's
read
that. No, I'm
talking about Revelation 17, 16.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, no problem. Revelation 7.
The same principle as we see in 2 Chronicles 20 and Judges 7. Evil destroys itself.
Amen. This is something we can behold throughout Scripture, Brother Travis. Is that correct?
Absolutely. But read that 16 there, Todd. That is the key verse on the entire battle there at Armageddon.
Absolutely. Revelation 17:16, saints, it says, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire.
Now, that is the final victory right there. And it's done in the way of the Lamb, not in the way of the Lion, committing violence against the enemy. It's by letting the enemy's violence within itself destroy the enemy.
Amazing, brother. Absolutely.
So this is a consistent message throughout the Word, Todd, from beginning to end.
Absolutely, brother. You know, saints, you might remember as you read through Psalms and how you regularly read there, I believe chapter 35 is one of the places where the wicked who, you know, plot evil against the just dig their own pit, which they are ultimately thrown into. Proverbs 11:19, he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Man, I tell you what, Brother Travis, once this touches your conscience, this truth, you know, the Bible says, love worketh no evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 13:10. It would further make you not ever want to lift a hand of evil against anyone. And that's just another motivator. Perhaps it shouldn't be the primary, but it is another one that God set in place. He that justifieth the wicked, let me go to 17:13 Proverbs. Mm-hmm. Whoso rewardeth evil for good. Like if you do evil to somebody that did you no harm, it's not in self-defense, but it's in perpetrating evil. Whosoever rewardeth evil, you pay somebody evil for them giving you good and doing you no wrong. Evil shall not depart from his house. It brings a curse on the life of anyone who would perpetrate evil against another. Brother Travis, we've got a few more minutes. There's so much rich content. What would you like to talk about here?
Well, you see it in things like if you take up the sword, you will be destroyed by the sword. Now, you see that in Revelation. There's a verse on that in Revelation also. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Matthew, 26:52 or somewhere in there. That's the same principle, Todd. And you remember Goliath. His head was cut off by his own sword.
Oh.
The sword of God against evil is the cross, Todd.
There's an ambitious Bushman if you ever saw one right there.
Exactly. And so this is how the meek inherit the earth. The meek do not inherit the earth with violence, which is the human way, the worldly way. You know, whoever's mm-hmm. got the most missiles and bombs inherits the earth today. But in God's way, the meek inherit the earth. And that never varies. The
Amen.
Meek win the battles. The humble win the battles. Read that quote by that fellow that I included in.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at that right now. Tonstad. I can't pronounce his name, but Sigve Tonstad.
Don't know much about him, but I like what he has to say here, Todd.
Absolutely, brother. Here it is. Mr. Tonstad wrote this. God was outsmarting and outmaneuvering the rulers of this age to leave them defeated and discomfited on the cosmic battlefield. Love laid a trap, as it were, deploying humility and unselfishness against power and pride and hubris, a mismatch so stupendous that the outcome seemed a foregone conclusion until the rulers of this age woke up to see their scheme disintegrate, unquote. Absolutely masterfully put, Brother Travis. You also stated here in this message, the principle of the cross is always God's way of victory, and it runs through the whole Bible. Our God of love never directly destroys evil. He always allows evil to ambush and destroy itself. This is a truth of the cross that people must behold and understand. Amen, Brother Travis. We got about 30
seconds.
The Bible
has to be read with this hermeneutical principle that we've talked about in these last two messages, that evil self-destructs. And so we just allow it to do so. And that we walk out in the world, take up the cross, and with this understanding that evil will destroy itself, in every encounter we have with it, we respond in such a way as to allow that to happen, Todd. In faith.
Amen. Amen, brother. Saints, I want to encourage you to listen to the other message on this that Brother Travis is mentioning. It's called God's Ambush of Satan at the Cross. Just put in the word ambush on safeguardyoursoul.com search box. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers and support, saints. God bless you, Brother Travis. Thank you,
sir.
Thank
you, Todd.